Our present conference homily will be on gratitude, reflections at the end of the year. There are many spiritual reflections that come to mind at the end of another year. How quickly the year has passed away. So I am 1 year closer to eternity. How much I could have done to have grown in the spiritual life, but in the past year failed to do so. So I am sorry and beg for mercy from God. A new year is coming on, so I make resolutions to do better in the year that begins tomorrow. But there is one spiritual disposition that I think should dominate our thoughts at the end of the passing year. That sentiment, I think, is gratitude to God. My purpose in this meditation is to reflect on the truth that God wants me to be grateful. In order to do justice to a subject that keeps recurring from the first pages of the Gospel to the end of the book of Revelation, gratitude, I thought we'd ask the three most logical questions. What is gratitude? Why should we be grateful? And especially, how? Gratitude is our appreciation of someone's goodness to us. First of all, therefore, if I am to appreciate someone's goodness to me, I must begin by recognizing with my mind that, well, I've been done a favor. I have been benefited. Moreover, my appreciation, even naturally, will be or should be in proportion to how much someone has done for me. A little favor, a little gratitude. A big favor, big gratitude. There ought to be some relationship, some proportion. It is especially that the more generous a person has been, the more grateful I ought to be. What do I mean? The more generous someone has been, the more grateful I should be. Well, the less obligated a person was or is to do me a favor. The more grateful I ought to be. I may be a perfect stranger. Ooh. But if someone who I know has never met me doesn't know me, but he is good to me, let me keep repeating the auxiliary verb, the more grateful I should be. We are not spontaneously, naturally grateful. The more selfless a person's goodness was in my benefactor, the more overwhelmingly grateful I should be. All of this, and we could go on, is the substratum, the foundation, even in reason, for the gratitude we ought to show to God. Because there are people who are good to us, but the only reason under God why anyone does a selfless favor to me is because God has so inspired that person. We should see in every benefit received, in every kindness shown, in every favor bestowed by anyone and everyone, the blessing and the favor and the kindness of God. And if there is one blindness in the human heart to which we are all, beginning with the speaker, so prone, it is to stop and not see behind or beyond the goodness and generosity that people show us. We go on. Why be grateful? Let me distinguish for a moment between why be grateful to others and what is the main focus of our reflections, why we should be grateful to God. We are to be grateful to others because, frankly, they want it better. They need it substitute that third person with the first person. And you begin to realize how deeply people want, because they need, gratitude from us. I know of no pain in the human heart deeper and more agonizing than ingratitude. Mothers and fathers I've spoken with, crushed by the cold, cruel ingratitude of their children. The ingratitude of people to those who serve them. I taught Jesuits theology for 25 years, and I must say, over the years, they have been grateful. But how much, speaking personally, it means to me, faculty members at Georgetown University, 20 or more years ago since I taught them, John, I still think of what you taught me. I'm trying to live it. Thanks. I've got a series of 5 verbs, and I don't think they're too strong. We expect people to be grateful. We look forward to their gratitude. We cherish their gratitude. We crave their gratitude. I really believe we live on people's gratitude. I know, as I keep repeating, my 5 years in a mental institution, I'm quick to add, as chaplain, I would say most of the 500 Catholic residents that over those 5 years I had the privilege to serve were the victims, the psychological victims of ingratitude. A wife to her husband, a husband to his wife, children to their parents. What should have been a friend to another friend. All of this is the groundwork of what God wants to teach us, of how much He, though God, watch this, who does not need our gratitude, but by God He wants it. We go on then to ask ourselves why we should be grateful to God. I don't hesitate saying that one reason that God became man, in order that as man he might show how much he who is God wants our gratitude. Episode after episode in the Gospels, sometimes with painful explicitness, more often implicitly, how Christ wanted, and being human, sought gratitude. Why? Because though man, he was God, and wanted to reveal as only God could show us in human form how deeply, how most fundamentally, what God wants from his creatures is their gratitude. The story of the 10 lepers and among the 10, we know, maybe most of them, maybe all but one, was a Jew. Who came to thank Jesus after he was healed? A Samaritan. And then Christ's, remember this is God's observation. Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? I would say that mathematical proportion, 9 to 1, is in God's mathematics about the ratio of the ungrateful to those who are grateful to God. That terrifying parable of the ungrateful servant. Oh, what a lesson. Remember the one who owed his master a large sum of money, begged to have the debt relieved, and the master condoned the large debt. And the same man goes off and demands from one of his fellow servants just a fraction of what he had just had remitted. But the master, in his own regard, and it is here that as we begin the new year, I would especially emphasize the divinely revealed mandate that we are to show our gratitude to God by our appreciation for what he has done for us by being and no matter whom I would be speaking to, I would say the same words because I know, painfully well know, human nature. Whatever you do in the year to come, whatever resolution you make in the Lord's name, be more grateful to God by being more understanding, more patient, more forbearing with others. At the Last Supper, Christ instituted the Eucharist. By now we've used the word so many times, we've seen it so often in print, no wonder we forget. Eucharistia means gratitude. This is why God became man, to institute the sacrament of gratitude. Let me be clearer. When we say sacrament of gratitude, we mean because the Eucharist is a sacrament. It confers grace. What kind of grace? The grace to show our gratitude. To whom? To God. In the person of whom? In the person of every human being who touches our lives. There are two words that should always, I don't say be associated, but theologically, may be identified. And they are charity and gratitude. Christ instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist, otherwise known as the sacrament of gratitude, that we might grow in our loving gratitude, first of all to Him, or our grateful love towards Him, because, I repeat, we are not naturally grateful. And we don't need a Shakespeare and his King Lear, remember? Crying out to the blowing wind, you are not half so unkind as man's ingratitude. I cannot prove the statement, but I believe it. I believe most of the sorrow, most of the sadness of heart in the human race as a result of man's ingratitude. Where do we begin? To begin to reflect on what God has been giving to us, He is now giving us, otherwise I wouldn't be speaking and you wouldn't be here patiently listening. Gratitude for our creation. The more empty seats in chapel, the clearer my comment should be. Except for God's goodness, you would all be the empty pews in chapel. And I'd be the empty chair. Gratitude for the incarnation. God did not have to become man. And that's the heart of gratitude. When we appreciate what someone has done who did not have to do it. The more spontaneous, the more selfless what someone does for me, the more grateful I should be. The redemption. God, having become man, did not have to suffer and die. He did. For me. He gave me my faith. All I know is that the Catholic faith is not only the condition for sanctity, it is the precondition for sanity. Gratitude for the graces that God has been giving to us. Our reflections are on the last day of the year. Well, there's the last day of each week and of each month and of each year and of each life. Please God, the sentiments we cherish of gratitude to God at the end of the year are the sentiments we will have at the end of our lives. Final question. How? We might ask, how should we be grateful to God? But I prefer, how can we grow in our gratitude to God? I have 8 recommendations. First, reflect. Think. Daily reflect on God's goodness to you. From our novitiate on, in being told and how to make the daily exam of conscience. We are told because St. Ignatius told us to. Every day, twice a day, drop everything else and think of what God has done for me. In the distant past, through my conception, birth, and all the blessings I've received, but especially in the last half day. Go over the blessings and graces you've received by the way. As I keep telling people, there are pleasant graces and there are painful graces. Reflect on all of them. Thank God for the pleasant and the unpleasant graces you have received. Second recommendation. Momentarily, thank God, as soon as you become conscious of a grace He is giving you. You mean that God gives His graces sporadically or periodically? Did He follow some kind of a schedule? This person, I'll give a grace, let's see. 7 in the morning, 9:15, and a long break. 1:30 in the afternoon. No. The problem is not that God is not always giving graces to us. It is that we are so, the strongest word I have in English, stone blind to God's constant, unremitting, uninterrupted graces to each one of us. Third recommendation. Periodically, and the more frequent the better, meditate on those parts of sacred scripture that feature God's selfless generosity to man in order to evoke gratitude in me. That is why the saints could meditate for years on end. Saint Paul of the Cross, Saint John of the Cross, and God's selfless generosity in dying on the cross for me. And I've recommended this, I am sure, more than once to you already. As often as you can. And I've said it publicly before, and I repeat it. I try to do it every time I enter my room. Have a crucifix available. Kiss the crucifix. thank God for becoming man and dying for me. I say this only to help you. The crucifix in the room, in the rectory, I guess we may call it, where I stay, is kind of high. But every time I've come into that room, each day, I have to reach up to be able to kiss the feet of Jesus. Then I kneel down. In gratitude. May God forgive me if there's a shred of vanity in what I'm telling you. I just want to help you. Fourth, in our reflections on God, and there are so many attributes of the Almighty. Human language becomes speechless. That's why we speak of God as the ineffable one, the indescribable one. Fainter, as a matter of spiritual policy, reflecting on God's goodness, because our natural proneness, being human, being sinners, being so often unfaithful, our natural tendency is to, well, instead of looking at God's goodness, to be conscious of our badness. And my friends, there's plenty of badness there. All you need, here's a formula, tried and proved formula. For depression, just dwell for any length of time on the stupidity, the weakness, the selfishness, the pride of our own fallen human nature, not in general, but in me. A must, perforce, on occasion. Look at ourselves, too. Thus we get the idea. What a wonderful person am I? We need self-reflection to cultivate humility. But my fourth recommendation, favor, reflecting on God's goodness in order to nourish your charity. Gratitude is the food of love. Fifth, cultivate the practice of charity toward others in the spirit of gratitude for God's goodness to me. All right, you say to yourself, I don't have to do this, say, for her. You might say, if you think about it, she doesn't have it coming. And you may be right. All right. Then for a moment, think of all the things that God has given you, which in plain English, you did not deserve. Six. Sustain this spirit of gratitude as much as you can throughout the day. But we've got to make ourselves aware of the fact that whatever, no matter what, we have, enjoy, possess. I got a call yesterday from Virginia. The party who called me up is working with Mother Teresa's sisters on Otis Street in Washington. Yesterday, there were three funerals of young men who died of AIDS. And yesterday, an 8-year-old girl was brought in the last stages of that disease. Inherit, it seems, from her father. Every time we hear, every time we see someone lacking what we have, our first reaction should be, "My Lord, thanks." This is why God, knowing us, oh how well He knows us, why He will deprive us of things we had enjoyed or possessed. Oh, how grateful I have been on so many occasions of leaving a hospital. Lord, thanks for bringing me through again. Seventh. Gratitude is reciprocal love. In other words, God has been so selflessly good to me in order to evoke from me a corresponding selfless goodness toward Him. The question should always be, what can I do in return? What can I repay And this, let me tell you, is the solid rock foundation of sanctity. Unless we realize, or in the measure that we do realize, God's goodness to me, and therefore what should be my superabounding gratitude to Him. That's how saints are made. The tears of the sinful woman at Christ's feet were tears of gratitude. Eighth and final recommendation. I've been using this formula over the years. I share it, maybe again, with you. Practice. Thanks thinking. Think. A lot of people just don't think. They vegetate. They might just as well be stones or trees. Think. Every day, have times for what I call thanks thinking. Second, don't let it stop in the mind. Say something. What I call thanks saying. Say thanks to God. Thanks, Jesus. So as long as God is on your mind, He knows whether you're talking to Him. Thank you. But don't stop with just the lips. Do something. Thanksgiving. It is giving in return, and let me add, in the measure. None of us knows, no matter how well we know another person, none of us knows anyone on earth as well as we know ourselves. And on reflection, we realize how overwhelming God has been to me. Well, then, having given to me, I give to Him. And I never dare say enough. Finally, what I consider the hardest, so often in our lives, and the more God wants us to love Him selflessly, that word selfless is not a cliche. Loving Him minus self, without looking for what's in it for me. And this, the crony expression of gratitude, in my theological estimation, is thanks giving up. Over the years, and now as we close another year, over the past year, how many things God has put into my life, no doubt, to evoke from me my gratitude for His goodness to me. Oh, but what I believe is the hardest lesson in life to learn. Everything, and the word is everything in the natural order that God has put into our lives, beginning with our lives. He will, in His own time, take away. God is constantly plucking the petals from the flower of our lives. And what He wants from us is to let go. Why let go? Because by letting go of creatures, we are in effect taking hold of God. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the past year, we thank You for all the blessings and graces You have given us. Blessings that we enjoyed. Blessings we have to endure. Give us, dear Savior, a heart of gratitude, so that in the year to come, we will seize every opportunity to keep telling You, thank You, because we believe our gratitude in this life is the condition for our beatitude in the life to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.